Thank you so much, Andy. Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And as you find your place there, the devotions the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning and tomorrow morning is the nice reminder through the Scriptures that He is able. I was listening to some of the remembrances about Billy Graham, and somebody was reflecting on a recent interview, and he said concerning his ministry and his life that if he had it to do all over again, he would spend more time in prayer and meditating on the Word of God. To the prayer and also to the Word of God, that's where our hearts should be centered. And as we have this wonderful theme that's been set forth, and we appreciate the committee as the Lord led them, it's only right that we be exercised in prayer from our hearts. But as far as the devotion, I felt like I should steer away from the theme of prayer and just consider this nice reminder, about seven of them through the Scriptures, that remind our hearts that God is able. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. Here we read, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' And they said to him, 'Yes, Lord.'" Shall we ask the Lord to bless these words to our hearts? Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are that when we come to your word and allow it to speak to our hearts, that your spirit is able to take the things we read and make the appropriate application that we all need. We ask that all things be done to your honor and glory, and that the thoughts and meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we first start looking at the things that he is able to do, I'll just tell you, you're not going to hear anything new and wonderful, but you're going to hear things that are true and wonderful from God's Word as we just consider some of the reminders. I'm going to just get you started moving through your Bible this morning and have you turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7 and verse 25, because I'm thinking of the things that God is able to do, and it has to start, as I put these in a proper working order for our lives, it has to start with the fact that he is able to save. And the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 reminds us of this. Hebrews 7, 25, it tells us, "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them." I remember Oliver B. Green years ago, and he still speaks on the radio, though being dead, he does still speak, saying that God had saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. And we understand what that means, don't we? The prophet Isaiah, someone said it's the gospel of Isaiah, he said, "Look to the hole from whence you were dug, also to the rock from whence you were hewn." In other words, don't forget the great salvation that God has given us of concerning where we've been saved from, as well as what we've been saved to. From the guttermost, absolutely. The psalmist said, "He lifted me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings, and he's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord." I remember Brother Murdoch saying years ago, he said, "The believer in Christ has been brought up, set up, kept up, and tuned up to sing God's praise." And it's really true, isn't it? Don't forget from where we've been saved. In fact, just take a moment and turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. From the guttermost, absolutely. As you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we realize we've been saved from death and brought into life. We've been saved from darkness and brought into light. We've been saved from sin and also from shame by our wonderful Savior who loved us too much to leave us lost and undone without hope and without God in this world. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, he says in verse 9, "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But the Lord of life has made us alive." He said we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now notice this in verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us even right now, and in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. The best is yet to come. Think of it. A three-tense salvation. Past tense, saved from sin and its penalty of death. Present tense, saved from sin and its power. And one day in the future, saved from sin and its very presence. And what a day that will be. Are you glad you've been saved from the guttermost? Amen. I sure hope so. It's nice to start with an amen this morning, isn't it? And I think it's going to carry us all the way through the day. I can't say why he would save us, but I can say how he would save us. You know, religions all over this world have teachers and instructors, but only the truth of salvation by grace through faith gives us not a teacher, but a Savior, one who is our deliverer and who has delivered us from so great a death. Not only are we saved from the guttermost, but we've been saved to the uttermost. How is it possible? Well, as I mentioned, that three-tense salvation, past, present, and future, we are enjoying the salvation not just from the past, but also right now because he ever lives to make intercession for us. We can be assured that we will never lose our salvation, as we see in a moment, because he has given us everlasting life. He lives to keep us as well as he died to save us. And one day he's coming back for us, and then we're going to see what we've been saved to. Then, Lord, shall I fully know just how much to thee we owe. Think of it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. They've been revealed to us by the Spirit of God, but even that is only a small measure of what God has in store for us. What a great God we have. There is none like him, and he saved us to the uttermost that we'll enjoy with him forever and ever. He's mighty to save, and he's able to save that great salvation we have in the Lord. Not only is he able to save us, but if you'll turn again in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, this might be one of the first verses that you learned after coming to know the Lord as your Savior. He is able to keep, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, as Paul reflects on the suffering that he's experiencing, he comes to the point of his solid persuasion, and he writes to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, 12, saying, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." We are safe as safe can be because he is able to keep us. Now just think for a moment of our Savior's invitation and his promise. He says, "Come unto me." What a great invitation. He's invited us to his own personal, and in a personal relationship, he wants us to know God through him and to know him better and better. In this invitation, he gives us the promise in the Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 37 and also 47, saying that all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you glad for that? We are safe and safe in the hand of our Savior and in the hand of the Father. And as the Gospel of John chapter 10, verses 28 through 30 remind us, We're safe in His hand, safe in the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We are safe as safe can be. Safe am I in the hollow of His hand. Nothing can harm us. No fears can alarm us. We are safe and saved and safe and certain in the double grip of God's great strength. Now think of this safety and security that we have in Christ. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12, I am persuaded that He is able. Are you persuaded today? I heard the story of a Mr. Holder who evangelized Nassau in the Bahamas years ago. It's great to go and suffer for the Lord down in the Bahamas, isn't it? Well, he was going on for the Lord, and from place to place he would evangelize, witness the gospel, and preach. And they called him the crazy preacher. You know, you haven't really rated until you're called the crazy preacher. They said that he came into some of the storefronts down on the main street shopping, and a lot of British were there. A lady who was British, she owned a shop, and when Mr. Holder came in, the clerk at the front said, Madam, the crazy preacher just came in. And so the proprietor came out, and she said, Mr. Holder, I'll have you know I am of the Anglican persuasion. Of which persuasion are you? Mr. Holder said, Well, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a great persuasion to be of, isn't it? That He not only is able to save us, but He's able to keep us, and nothing can ever change that. We have everlasting life. That's salvation. It's not probation. It's salvation, life forever and ever. I remember hearing Brother Worth Ellis years ago speak of his security in Christ. He said, I am so safe and secure in Christ, I could swing over hell on a rotten pea vine and sing Amazing Grace the whole way. I don't know if that was original with Brother Worth Ellis, but it's true for all of us. We're safe as well as saved, and we're kept by the power of God. Our security is wonderful to know. Nothing can ever change that. Thirdly and lastly for this morning, if you'll turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And as we just enjoy these reminders through the Scriptures, this one has to do with the fact that He is able not only to save us and to keep us, but He is able to make all grace abound toward us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Paul writes by the Spirit of God and says, And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. It's an abounding grace. That's what Paul writes about in Romans chapter 5. You know the much more chapter, don't you? Five times he uses the expression, much more, much more, much more. I met a man in Africa, served on the field with him in the Congo. His name was Don Muchmore. I said, I wish I had a name like that, huh? Don Muchmore. I saw him down at Florida at Park of the Palms years later, and he's still enjoying the much more grace of God. Think of it, that fifth time in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, he says, But where sin abounded, grace abounded, how? Much more. And we have a much more abounding grace when it comes to our sin. It's superabounding, and it's not only that, but it's also abundant, because God, who uses His grace to save us, is the same grace that sustains us and makes us sufficient servants of His. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient as servants. You and I, We have a great responsibility as elders and preachers and all of us who are believers to enjoy God's wonderful grace. I'll just tell you right now, His grace is sufficient for everything we need. I'm glad we have a God who is able not only to save us and to keep us, but also to give His abounding grace to make us sufficient as His servants. The beautiful hymn, "He Giveth More Grace." I'll just read the words as we close. "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again." Listen to the last verse. "When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength is failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again." We have a great God. He's greatly to be praised. And as we come to Him in prayer, remind your hearts. And we'll turn right back to Matthew chapter 9 just to close. Matthew chapter 9. Remind your hearts. I promise I'm going to take this frog with me when I step down from here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. "When these blind men came in and asked the Lord to restore their sight, He asked the question in Matthew 9, 28, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' And they said to Him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then He touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be unto you.'" May the Lord lift our hearts in a reminder that our God is able. And as we in faith lay hold upon Him this morning, remember what William Cooper said, "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For His grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." May the Lord stir our hearts unto prayer at this time. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank and praise You for the greatness of Your person. There is none like You. There is nothing too hard for You. You are God, and You can do anything, for nothing is too hard for You. We thank You for Your power that has been made perfect and is being made perfect in our weakness. Help us not to look to ourselves, but help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God as the One who is able. We come unto You this morning in the great name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.